On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher again, calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Hi, what is your map for life? It seems that most people follow the road ahead of them, hardly knowing where they are going. Some even fail to read the road signs and are soon in the ditch, and there can be a ditch on both sides of the road. That is true of life also. We need to know how to steer into the very center of God's will. The modernist, the liberal, and humanist tell the lie that there are no rules. You just follow your heart. Well, how did that work for Adam? How did that work for Judas? And how did that work for Demas, who, having loved this present even world, parted company with the Apostle Paul and a man of God? I fear that a present generation is on the road of life and they don't know where they have come from, nor where they are going. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible has the answers? God is the Creator, we are His creatures, and He has the right to demand what is right and wrong. If He didn't, He would be immoral, creating intelligent beings without giving them His holy law. The law of God contained in the Bible as the scriptures of truth is really God's nature laid out for us to follow. Without knowing God, we cannot know the truth, nor know the way. So our duty is to know God and to do His will. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's John chapter 14, verse 6. I therefore throw out my Bible challenge to you today. Read the Bible carefully and prayerfully for 1 month, and then call me with what you've discovered. You will be amazed. I find that those who criticize the Bible most have read it the least. Those who have stomped all over the Bible have also skipped all over its revelation. They don't really know what is in it. So, they might ask, how can Cain get his wife? And then they mock. But if they read the whole book of Genesis, they would soon learn that creation, sin, redemption, judgment, and God's unswerving covenant purposes are all revealed. So, go to the Bible. You will find it good for your soul. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that today that you will join with me as we look into God's Word. We want to be equipped to be witnesses for Christ here in this country of Canada. How much men and women need the gospel. How we need churches that are filled with men and women who believe the book. And we need preachers who are not only committed to the book, but equipped to preach it. And so we need to pray that God will raise up a race of preachers in this country to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus to from coast to coast. Here at Let the Bible Speak, we're committed to this work, and we're thankful that you can join with us today, and I hope that you become a regular listener to our program. And of course, let us know. Send us an email, give us a phone call. You'll get all the details, how to be in touch with us, at the close of the program today. Now we're coming to our part two message on the resurrection. Not only the resurrection of Christ, but the resurrection of his people. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Well, let's go to verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are celestial bodies, bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one. Now, there's different kinds of animals. There's land animals, and they are created in a special way to function at that level. Then there are fish that are created for the world of the sea, underwater. And God has equipped them to breathe through gills and to sustain life by that manner. They grow, they populate within that world, that realm underwater. Then there are the birds, and God creates the birds to exist in that realm of the air. They are aerodynamic, they have wings to fly, they are built light with hollow bones and many faculties to function in the air. And then he goes on to talk about the planets. There is the sun, the moon, and the stars. And they all are created differently. They function for their own purposes, and God has put them all in his place. Now, why does Paul even mention this? You call that Paul's zoo, Paul's planetarium. Well, why does he bring all this up? Just to prove one thing, that it is nothing with God to create a new body, a body that is adapted for a different dimension, a body that is adapted for spiritual life, life in heaven, a life with God, where there is no longer dependence upon the normal things of this earth. So there's the prospect of a new body. There's also the prospect of a better body. It's a body that's going to function differently. Now, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples, he had a real body. And they were able to touch him. They were able to handle his body. He ate meals and he functioned on that level. But there were many things about the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus that were different. He could just appear in a building. He could be here now or gone. And there are different aspects and dimensions to the body of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection. Likewise, when the Christian who is in the grave for whatever time, and God raises that body up, it's going to be different. It's going to be a better body, a body that will no longer thirst, a body that will no longer hunger, have no more pain. There will be no more tears, no more viruses. There will be no more death. It will enjoy immortality, which really means deathlessness. And that new body of the Christian will function on a level that we really have difficulty grasping. But it's going to be better. It's going to be wonderful to be with Christ in a new body like unto his glorious body. Ah, that's the glorified state. And that's the hope of the Christian. That's the prospect we have, that we're going to have a new body, it's going to be a better body, and we're also told it's going to be an instantly renewed body. Here is really the classic statement, and Paul says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We'll not all be in the grave, we'll not all be dead, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." And on that resurrection day, these bodies that for all our lives have been earthbound and subject to death and decay, God is going to raise us up instantly, in a moment. That means an atom of time. And the apostle used what is the smallest, minutest measurement. Now, I know some people are trying to split the atom these times, but really, even until today, the atom is the smallest unit of measurement. And in the instant, God is going to bring us into this state of a new body. In the twinkling of an eye, in the very flicker of the eyelid, we're going to be changed. And so this is the prospect of each and every Christian. It's going to happen on the day of Jesus' return, when the trump sounds, when that trumpet blasts, just one sharp sound that every ear will hear. Christ will be seen, every eye will see him, and the dead in Christ shall be raised up. And we that are alive and remain on the earth, we're going to be changed too. We're not going to be left behind if we're still alive when the Lord returns. But the whole church, the whole people for whom Christ died, will be raised up to be with Christ, not in these earthbound bodies, but with a new dimension adapted for heavenly life. And of course, we are told that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit corruption. Now that brings us to wonder, what happens to the wicked? What happens to the unsaved sinner who is out of Christ and is not changed into a new body? Well, they remain in their corruption. And because of their corruption, they can never enter heaven. Indeed, they will stand at the great assize on the judgment day in the corruption of their mortal body. And it will be not only seen that they're unchanged, but all their sins and all their iniquities will be paraded before a holy God. There's not a hope of an unbeliever entering into the kingdom of heaven. And so with this hope and with this gospel, we go throughout the world to tell the good news that Jesus gives to sinners eternal life. But you must put your trust and your faith in the Lord. Have you done that personally, individually? And I'm thinking of those who normally gather here in our congregation that I would normally be preaching to here this morning. I'm thinking of you, and I'm wondering, are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of Jesus? Are you ready for heaven? Now, ready for heaven means that you have this hope of the resurrection, that you've seen the principle, that you're living for the prospect of a new body, a better body, and an instantly changed body on that resurrection day. And if you are resting in that hope, trusting Christ to deal with your sins from the past and to present you to the Father in the future, then you are blessed indeed. Now I move lastly to the pronouncements of the resurrection. And on these also we need to stand steadfast, not give an inch, because you'll notice there are a number of pronouncements. Verse 54, verse 55, there are a number of pronouncements that the apostle makes based upon the truths that he has laid out. O death, where is thy sting? And end of verse 54 as well, it is written, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, if you look at these verses, you'll notice that there are three enemies that needed to be brought to defeat. Death is called in this passage a sting, and it's the same word that is used for a scorpion's sting. Now, to people living in Bible lands, the scorpion was very present, and a lot of people understood the horrible pain that a scorpion sting would bring. It was horrible, nasty. I met one man who spent a time in Egypt with the British Army, and he was stung by a scorpion, and he said it was absolutely terrible. Well, this is Paul's description for the horror of death. You don't want that sting, but here the sting is gone. Now, how can that be? Well, it says that the strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And so it is the law that makes deeds and actions sinful, because the law, it is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. It's to transgress the law. But now we need to go to Calvary. We need to remember that on the cross, the Lord Jesus bore the curse of sin. That means that he paid to the Father a ransom to satisfy the law. And the law is settled. All its claims, all the guilt of sin is settled. And the sacrifice of Christ out of the God-man that died on Calvary's cross, out of that infinite sacrifice, justice is turned away. The justice due to sinners, that sword of justice was thrust upon our Lord Jesus. He has died, and the law is canceled. And so the sting of death is gone. And death itself is swallowed up in victory. The Lord Jesus has marvelously, wonderfully conquered for us. And this is the wonderful triumph of our Lord Jesus. And so while on this Easter Sunday morning we all rejoice in the good news that the angel gave to the woman, he is not here, for he is risen. But that's only the beginning of the story. That's only the ABC of the whole alphabet of the gospel. There are blessings infinite, eternal, that change us from this wicked, sinful world, defeat sin, and brings us into glory. So come to Calvary and you'll see how the law is silenced, the sting of death is defeated. And then we come to the empty tomb and we take great delight that our Lord Jesus is risen. And so we can make these pronouncements. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, I want you to make these pronouncements. I cannot be satisfied as a gospel preacher until you personally will open your mouth and make this pronouncement. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And whatever stage in life you may be, young, old, healthy or ill, perhaps even near the grave. And of course, these days, so many are fearful of death because this virus, it seems to make no discrimination at all between age or youth. And all are fearful of the enemy of death through the virus. But as a Christian, as a believer in the resurrection, you can make this pronouncement, believing in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can make this wonderful pronouncement, O death, where is thy sting? Now remember, we're realists. We're not saying that the Christian will not face death. There will come a time, by whatever means, by whatever manner, and our bodies will shut down. Blood will stop to flow. The lungs will cease to move. The heartbeat will be gone. The vitals will cease. And we will give up our bodies to death. But the sting of it, the horror of it, the terror of it is gone. And praise God, our living Lord Jesus will raise us up and one day bring us into the kingdom with a new body, a spiritual body, a body adapted to reign with Christ and to live with Him. What a message for all who face the horror of death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. It's gone. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you can rest and rejoice in this. Now this week I learned about Thomas Jefferson's dead Bible. Thomas Jefferson was the United States' third president, and the Congress once issued a special edition of Thomas Jefferson's Bible. It was simply a copy of our Bible with all the references to the supernatural eliminated. And Jefferson, in making his selections from the Bible, he confined himself solely to the moral statements of the Lord Jesus. He cut and pasted, not with a computer, but literally with tape and paper, he cut and he pasted all the passages that pertain to the moral teachings, but the miracles of the Lord were left out. Now the closing words of Jefferson's Bible are these: there led they Jesus, and rolled a great stone to the mouth of the sepulchre, and departed. Now if our Bible ended like that, there would be no possibility of a future resurrection. But thank God, the true Bible stands not with the rolling of the stone to the tomb, but it closes with the rolling away of the stone to bring the announcement of the angels to the women. He is not here, for he is risen. And upon that note of victory, that swallowing up of death in victory by our Lord, we as Christians take our stand. We remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And in these days, truly, we preach as dying to dying souls. And all around us in our country, there are hundreds and hundreds of people facing death. Every day, the reports are staggering. And it's true in the United States for our brethren and sisters there. It's true in Europe. It's true in my homeland in Northern Ireland. The death rate there is very serious. United Kingdom death rate is phenomenal. It's staggering. It's horrible. But we can make this announcement. Oh, the sting of death is gone. Christ is risen. And for all who will trust in Him as their Savior, there is this wonderful hope. In this world of death, we have a wonderful Savior. Will you trust Him? Will you give your heart to Him? He is worth living for. He has redeemed us by His blood. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And one day these redeemed bodies that belong to Jesus now, He claims them. He's going to raise us up. And He will give us new bodies. like unto his own glorious body. What a day, what a hope, what a gospel. Join with me in prayer as we wait on the Lord. Father, we thank thee for this wonderful hope that is ours today in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for this great chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, this Magna Carta treatment of the doctrine of the resurrection. Oh God, we thank thee today for this hope, that it's a real hope. It's a true hope. The facts are certain. Jesus is risen. The tomb is empty. And because he lives, we shall live also. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the peace that this brings to our hearts, that we have this prospect of a new body, a better body, instantly changed body. And also we can make these pronouncements. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Lord, would you comfort the bereaved today with this hope? Will you comfort the fearful? Will you strengthen your own people? Life is so short. Our time in this world is so little. And soon we will be called away from this world. But praise God that for the Christian, the grave is the dressing room for heaven, because one day we will receive a new body. Bless this word to every heart. Call your people to rest steadfastly in this hope, and call sinners out of their fear to this joy of knowing that it is well with our souls. We ask this and pray your blessing today. Dismiss us with your blessing. O Lord, let your favor be upon us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with your redeemed people.
Now do remember that if you wish to hear this program again, or if you missed part of it, you can go to our website, www.ltbs.ca, and there you'll get the information on today's message and of previous programs. Thank you for joining us here at Let the Bible Speak. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.